Ed Pohl interviews Zafar Khan, Chief Executive Officer of RPost, a new electronic registered mail system that allows you to both certify receipt of mail by the recipient as well as the contents of the attachments. Not even the U.S. Postal Service can do the latter. It's the next best thing to having someone watch the recipient read your post. And the best part? You don't even have to sign up for the service. Just pay for the post as you use it. Listen for more details in Ed's interview with Zafar.
Our guest today is Zafar Khan, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Registered Email. Zafar, thanks for joining us today.
Ed, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
We're going to talk today not only about your product, but also about how lawyers today use U.S. mail, registered mail, and what it is and what it is not, and then what your product and perhaps others to follow you are attempting to address. And so I'd like to start off with asking you to give us a brief overview of what the U.S. mail is when you send out certified registered mail.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. And what we provide is a service called Registered Email. The company name is RPost, RPost.com. And in terms of what the U.S. certified or registered mail is meant to achieve is to give the sender a record of a particular package that was received at a particular point in time. And the mailman gathers objective evidence, and if the sender so pays, the mailman returns that evidence back to the sender, and they have a record that something was accepted by an authorized agent of the receiver at this point in time.
And with a declaration from an attorney that this is what he or she sent, with a declaration, I suspect, of a secretary that this was placed, registered, certified mail, that then becomes evidence of having sent something and presumably the something that was sent. Now, your software product is intended to address that issue, but more. And tell us a little bit about what RPost actually does.
Sure. So the RPost registered email service provides legally valid evidence of precisely what content and attachments were sent and received by whom and when in a very simple and elegant implementation. At the click of a button for the sender and for the receiver, they don't need anything or they don't need any software, no click-throughs or downloads on their end. And the way the RPost system works, just like, say, the U.S. mail or a FedEx system, is the sender hires, by clicking the send registered button, the sender hires RPost to deliver that electronic package on behalf of the sender to the receiver's authorized agent, their mail server, as their agent of record, and to gather objective evidence as to whether or not the receiver's agent will accept that mail on behalf of the sender, on behalf of the receiver. And that's done through a simple server dialogue. The RPost system records this and then associates that dialogue with the sender's mail content, attachments, and all the times associated with it. So, in short, it provides the sender with legally valid evidence of precisely what content and attachments were sent and received by whom and when in a simple implementation without requiring the receiver to click on anything or do anything on their end.
So when you use Outlook, for example, and you want a receipt from the receiver, the receiver actually has to do something affirmative. In other words, they have to check the yes box in Outlook, and then that sends back to the sender verification of receipt. However, the recipient can also check no, that you don't want to send back proof of receipt, and then the sender gets no verification whatsoever.
Yeah, Ed, one of the, I think, most common misconceptions about email is the Outlook read receipt, or general systems that provide some information back to the sender some of the time in a simple text form for a couple reasons. One, with two clicks of a mouse, you can change that receipt to say anything. You can print it out and represent it as fact. Or the other party might claim that you changed it, even worse. And then also, as you indicated, the receiver can simply check no or set their settings never to return that receipt. So the sender might not get anything. By contrast, with the RPost system, the RPost gathers information by recording the server dialogues, which is something that must occur for any internet email, and then it interprets that conversation so that the layperson can understand, was it delivered to the receiver's mail server, which is legally delivered under the Uniform Electronic Transaction Act, or delivered to the mailbox, open perhaps, or failed.
Now, when the recipient gets the email, do they actually have to open the email for our post to work?
It's a good question. So like we'll go back to the U.S. Postal Service first-class mail. The presumption, the law says the presumption is of delivery if the sender has a record of sending. And that comes to tie in with the affidavit of, say, the attorney's assistant, that they dropped it in the mailbox at this specific time. For email, however, the laws and the case law and the statute specifically say that the burden is on the sender to prove that the receiver's agent has accepted that package on behalf of the receiver. And the agent is defined as the receiver's mail server. So regardless of whether the receiver opens it or it's put in their mailbox, as long as their mail room, which is their mail server, signs for that email, the sender has met their obligation to provide notice, assuming that the notice can be signed off if the mail room signs for something.
Okay, now you've used a very key word here, and I'll put it in quote, sign. What does it mean for the server to, quote, sign, unquote, acceptance?
Well, just like with first-class mail, for example, or certified mail or FedEx, if there's a return receipt function, generally the signature it starts with a conversation with the receiver's agent, the mailroom attendant or receptionist. Will you accept this package on behalf of so-and-so? Yes, I will. No, I won't. And if they say yes, the person will say, will you write it down, write your name down, so I have a record of who you are that's accepting this on behalf of that person. In the Internet, this is described as what they call the Simple Mail Transport Protocol, the SMTP dialogue, which is the server-to-server conversation that happens in a similar fashion. The servers say, will you accept this email on behalf of so-and-so? And the recipient server might say, no, I won't. The mailbox is full. The person doesn't work here anymore. Or, yes, I'll accept that. Thank you very much. And so that's a recorded conversation that identifies the receiver's agent and identifies the sender's agent, records the dialogue back and forth, and then what the ARPO system does is it runs that information through an algorithm to interpret it for the layperson so the layperson knows that it was legally received or not, delivered to mail server or failure, or some nice information to know, delivered to the mailbox or opened.
In other words, what you're saying, I think, is that if it gets to the server of the recipient, it then is in the equivalent of the inbox of the recipient, and whether they choose to open it or not at this point is irrelevant.
Well, just like the mailman, the FedEx person doesn't stand over your shoulder, Ed, and watch you, or wait for you to open the envelope, watch you open the envelope, and then quiz you to see if you read it and understood it. Now, if the obligation of the sender is to prove that the receiver opened it, read it, and understood it, which might be in some cases, then probably you should not use registered email. You might need to send the sheriff over or interview the person. But if the obligation of the sender is to provide notice and prove that they provided notice to the receiver or their agent, then the registered email will prove not just that something was received, but unlike the first-class mail or certified mail, it will also prove what was in the envelope, the content, the email body, and what was in all the attachments.
Okay, again, just to be real simplistic about this, the fact that you've received it, that is, your server has received it, gets translated, in my mind, that it is in your inbox, Outlook inbox, or equivalent thereto, and that is then receipt, correct?
Well, think of it as failure is like the mail room of the receiver says, we won't accept this. The delivered to mail server is like the mail room attendant saying, thank you very much, I'll accept this and I'll pass it along through our internal mail system, so it ends up on Ed's desk. Delivered to mailboxes, your assistant signs for the FedEx and puts it on your desk. And opened is you sign for it yourself. Now, the law, the Uniform Electronic Transaction Act, which has been passed in some form or fashion in every state in the U.S. And many other countries, and the case law clearly define that legally received is when the receiver's mail server has accepted that on behalf of the receiver.
Okay, from a layperson's perspective, though, and a number of folks listening to us today might not understand where the server is in their law firm. How is it that they know that it has been received? Never mind read, but how is it that they know that it's been received? Because internally, as you say, it gets sent from their server to their desktop in some fashion. Is that right?
Correct. Just like if the mailroom attendant signs for the FedEx, then the organization has an obligation to have policies in place so that that mailroom attendant knows how to get it to your desk, Ed.
Okay, and then the law firm has its own internal protocol to get it from the server to your desk.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so the obligation of the sender to provide notice or to deliver that information to the receiver is met in most cases if the receiver's agent has signed for that package.
Okay, and by agent, somebody that's been designated before the Secretary of State, we're talking about how it is that you receive electronic communications within your law firm.
Correct. So just like you might list a specific post office box or specific mail address of a mail receiving area or mail room, or your assistant might sign for it or your doorman, on the Internet, every mail server that is accepting email lists an address within the Internet mail system. And so there is an address of record for each mail server that is accepting email.
Okay.
And that is now, the designated agent.
With respect to the attachments, you're indicating that there is a way to verify the content of the attachment. How is that done?
So an important aspect of the ARPO system is the fact that what we call a registered receipt email is returned to the sender. And for every email that you send registered, the receiver gets an email, either plain or marked as a registered email, and the sender gets back evidence that gives them information about the transport for all recipients to that email, but also gives them a way to verify whether that receipt is authentic. And if that receipt has not been tampered with that the sender gets, then that receipt will reconstruct the original message, the original attachments that were associated with that transmission. And the ARPOST system does this in a way that does not require ARPOST or any other party to store information about that email. So what we call, what we say is that the ARPOST system returns durable, verifiable, and a self-contained record in the form of an email back to the sender. We call it a registered receipt. And that record, that email record, is really the perfect record. It proves not just what content was sent, but what content was received, which government or official time was noted when it was received. And it has a mechanism to verify the authenticity and reconstruct the original.
Okay, so there's two words that you used that I want to highlight. The first is the tampering. You say if it's not tampered with, is there any way that an ARPOST email can be tampered with?
Well, just like anything in electronic, it comes back to the sender in a form that's easy to read, easy to understand. It's in an HTML form, but it has some attachments. And sure, anyone could change something in that receipt, but the key thing about the ARPO system is that it gives any holder of that receipt a mechanism to verify whether or not it's been changed. And if it has not been changed, then the ARPO system will reconstruct the original.
So you're saying, in effect, that it might be tampered with, but if it is tampered with, there's a record that it has been tampered with.
Correct. And if it has not been tampered with, then the originals will be validated.
Okay.
And the mechanism to do this is by simply forwarding by email that receipt back to the RPost system to a special email address, verify@rpost.net. And the RPost system will look at that receipt, determine if it's been tampered with or if it's authentic. If it's authentic, then the RPost system will reconstruct the original mail, attachments, transmission information, and government times for the person that's questioning its authenticity.
Now, how is it that RPost is not maintaining the records?
It's a very important point, and we found that most of our customers, we have customers in the U.S. federal government, like the Government Accountability Office, global law firms like Greenberg, Torig, and others, our customers are not ones that want a third party storing information. First of all, that other party may become party to discovery in a dispute. And second, there are privacy issues. Is that party maintaining or deleting, or what are their policies? So the RPost system does this, manages this receipt in a certain way where it packs back into the receipt all the data that the RPost system would need in the case where someone wanted to verify the integrity and have the original reconstructed. So all the data associated with that receipt is packed back into the receipt, embedded in the receipt, and returned back to the sender for the sender to maintain.
Okay, now let me ask you a $64 question, and that is, I understand what RPost is doing, but I've not seen anybody else do this, and the Outlook send and receive mechanism certainly falls far short of the capability of RPost. So are there any other competitors or systems out there that are providing a similar service?
Yeah, I would say, Ed, I would say that the most common points of confusion are the basic, say, Microsoft Outlook read receipt, which we talked about, or Lotus or GroupWise read receipt that we talked about. Or the second system would be what we call a store and forward system. And these are systems that where the sender uploads a file to a third-party server. The third-party server sends out a link to the receiver that says essentially click through and come and get it and put in your passwords or jump through some hoops and hurdles. And then if the receiver does that, then the sender gets some information back about the receiver having accepted that package. Now, the challenge with those are that the sender, in most instances, does not want to burden the receiver and make them jump through hoops and hurdles to get their mail. And if the receiver just simply doesn't want to click through that link or isn't confident that link is an authentic link, then the sender will have no information about the transport. Further, there's a third party in the middle storing information for a period of time, and that party may become part of discovery or may there may be some privacy issues associated with it.
Okay. Now, the ease of use of RPost, I think, is really an interesting point to spend a moment on, and that is that there is no upfront cost, as I understand it, and the only cost is when you actually use the registered post system. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we looked at a lot of different models, and we have different pricing plans, but the one that seems to be most popular is buying a book of stamps and keeping that book of stamps in your desk drawer for when you need it. Essentially, what companies do is they prepay for a block as little as maybe 100 stamps for $79, or as many as 100,000 stamps for much less per stamp. And that's what they do is they can turn the service on for anyone in their organization. They don't have to worry about who's going to use it a lot and who will use it a little. There are no seat licenses or upfront software licenses. It's a pay. So when you click the send registered button, it debits about the cost of a postage stamp from your meter, and you can refill it when it depletes. And so it's a service that can be deployed. It can be on your desktop with a simple send registered button in your Microsoft Outlook, or it may be turned on your network and the sender simply just types in R in parentheses in the beginning of a subject field, and that sends the email registered. And so it's something that most lawyers and law practices say, well, why wouldn't I at least have this capability for when I need it? And in certain situations, I'll need it more. In certain situations, I'll need it less.
Well, Zafir, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and telling us about a brand new system and how it's going to impact the management of the law firm and the sanctity of our mail system. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ed.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.